I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here we are, we're having a look back at the Richmond's 2015 season and a primer for 2016. I keep remembering the words we're using for them now.
Yeah, primers. I always forget them.
To keep things a little bit more interesting, we've got our official Richmond correspondent in Richie here.
How you doing?
It just fits. Shit.
Well, I think it's all become a well-established fact that I don't know fuck all.
Based your on own
my,
team.
My tips, yeah.
Oh, don't worry, I know barely anything while I'm at it too.
I've just been caught out a lot with my tipping and predictions for an entire year. Which apparently I still think there's a fix in about how I won the ladder pick.
The ladder predictor. Well, because we did it so early. It just, you know, these things work out that way.
Sunshine's like a dog's ass some days.
Exactly.
Hey, right. I'll put it down. I won the family tipping. So, I mean, my sister didn't actually put in any tips for 90% of the season, but I still beat them all.
Finished third, did she?
Fourth, actually, I think. Yeah.
How are your headphones?
Mine are good. Oh, it's a little bit quiet, but...
So, how many Richmond supporters have got money on the winning the flag so far, do you think?
How many Richmond supporters have got money?
No, look, it's going to be interesting. But I say that every year. I think Heath pulled me up on a post I put up last year going like, oh, I'm excited for next year, you know, big things to come. And it was like 15-year member and, yeah, still excited for next year.
Well, that's the thing with Richmond. I mean, they've, you know, been struggling for success. But off-field... fucking sorted in the last 5 years.
Yeah, well, I went to the AGM actually for the first time. Last month? Because a good friend of ours, Bobby Phillips, was getting inducted as a life member.
Right.
So I thought, oh, we'll, you know, go down, show some support, and, you know, find out about everything that's actually going on. And yeah, it was actually pretty cool. Since 2007, we have turned a profit every year. So off-field's doing really, really well. It's good to see.
And it's not just turning profits. It's the debt. The debt's all gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, at the AGM, I was thoroughly impressed. Peggy O'Neill was absolutely amazing.
I bet she's good, actually.
Yeah, she's really, really good. Spoke really well. I mean, this is a lot of the time we had all the Dusty incident happening as well. So
I didn't read anything about that.
Yeah, nothing. No, it just slipped straight under the radar, that one. But she came out and addressed it really nicely, and I think most people left that AGM pretty pleased.
As long as you get a win on the board.
Look, that's what the hope for. I mean, it'd be nice if we could do it in finals for once, but we may do, I guess. That's part of being a Richmond supporter, is always looking forward.
But like we were saying, Peggy O'Neill, one of the bigger things she's done, like, and Brendan Gale as well.
Yeah.
They've delivered on everything they've said they would.
Yeah.
When they came out and said, we're going to hit, you know, 70,000 members and be debt-free, geez, they come a whisker off 70,000 this year, and debt-free. You know, I think 2 years ago that they announced that they finally got rid of their debts. And besides all that, you appreciate that they haven't gone the flashy PR route or anything like that. Mm. There's no grabs for headlines or anything like that. It just fucking got down to business.
Yeah, well, a good point they brought up is they're looking to move more into expanding kind of the social media side of Richmond. Something that's like I got up and asked a question about it too, and I said to him, like, look, I was pretty much the youngest guy in the room who wasn't, you know, with their parents.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of 10-year-olds there, but I didn't want to single them out. But I was like, look, most of the people who attend the AGMs and stuff, they're all guys who are in their 60s. They've been Richmond supporters for 50,000 years.
Since the last premiership.
Yeah. But I was like, you know, I really want to see the them getting in and advertising to the younger guys and actually making them, giving them a reason to actually attend these kind of events.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not the most exciting thing in the world, but I'm sure there's plenty of people who actually have the interest, and they're they're really going to be stepping up their social media presence, I think, and they already do a pretty good job.
You must be doing a pretty good job, because I mean, they've got what, the third most members in Melbourne.
Yeah,
as well as in 2015, they had the highest crowd numbers.
Yeah, that was big. I think that the crowd numbers was awesome to see this year. Mainly the perspective of, you know, we actually had to go early to make sure we got good seats. You know, Dad and I switched back to a general membership maybe 5-6 years ago, just because you can't commit to kind of every game, and it's a bit of a waste having the reserve seats. But now you're kind of looking at it going, oh, maybe it's worth just getting the reserve seats just in case. Cause
well, I mean, that was the big thing about 2015. We'll go through it. I mean, 15 wins and finishing fifth. It was a real danger year because Hardwick was still, hadn't won the finals the year before, and you're never comfortable as a Richmond coach. Yeah. And they had, what was it, 16 Friday night games? Six Friday night games, or a lot of Friday night games. So you're on the big stage. There's a chance that if you fall over, it's going to become the Richmond of old.
Carlton.
You're going to get rid of everyone. But they stood up. And, you know, they were probably, if they held their nerve at a few games, they would have been top four.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can probably skip ahead of friends, but I mean, for me, big example was like the Freo game. You win that second game, and that's it. We didn't miss out by top four by much, and you happen to pull out one of those. And I suppose our pretty average start to the year as well was not ideal. But, you know, we came back in the end and had a good couple of runs at it, and it is what it is.
Plenty to cheer about, though. So let's go through 2015 then. Best wins for the year. And this is the first thing that, when I was doing the research for this, to pick the best win, there's a few to choose from, which is, you know, something really great. I mean, the Tigers got a lot to get excited about.
Carlton round one's got to be a nice way to start.
It's an excellent way to start, because there's been a little hurdle for the, you know, a few years, even though I think they won 2 years in a row now.
Yeah, I think it might be, yeah.
The only downside was, I think Brett Delidio set a record for being reported in a season.
first clash, that was great.
I mean, only Conor McGregor finishes quicker.
But we were there for that match, and we saw it, and we're like, oh, he's gone.
Yeah,
like,
oh, shit.
It was like, oh, fuck. But, you know, even so, they played well. And I remember when we were sitting there watching it, it wasn't that Carlton played poorly. That came later. It was that Richmond just looked neater. They rebounded off the back line well. They're able to find targets, which is something they haven't done in I don't know how many seasons. And what's more, Bashahuli seemed to, I'll kick it to someone after running half the field.
I was just glad to see us actually coming out hard for once. That's been the frustrating thing, I think, having this starting off the season, and you go in really amped up for the first game, and suddenly you see a supporter. Exactly. First game's always the best, right? And then you see like a snooze fest, and or we get trounced.
From memory, I could be wrong, but from memory, the first quarter was quite a good contest, and then Richmond just outclassed Carlton.
Yeah, we kind of busted away. I think Richmond put up a like a season review series
online.
It's really good. So they've got like a rounds 1 to 13, rounds 14 to 21, and then 21 to the game we don't talk about. it was actually nice. I got on there this morning and had a breeze through it. And we definitely stepped up a notch coming into that second quarter, and it was quite nice to actually start a season with a win.
Well, especially you weren't really sure how shit Carlton were going to be that season.
We had an idea.
We had a fair idea. Was it the year before? No.
Mick Mouldhouse said he couldn't see them losing a game.
And nobody
probably shouldn't have.
Yeah.
He probably shouldn't have seen any of it, because he should have been fucked off.
I was going to say, he saw them lose far less than he thought, only because he fucked off by round 8.
The year before where Essendon got banned, and that got Carlton into the finals. Was 13, wasn't it?
2013, yeah.
Okay, there you go.
And we still lost.
So there's always that rivalry that's been there, and you're always excited to beat Carlton in round one. But then as the season progresses, you're like, well, maybe that wasn't as significant as what it probably looked like at the time.
You beat them twice.
See, it's significant in both ways. In a positive, because you want to start your season right. But also, the negative was lids getting reported.
Yeah.
Because then he had to serve games.
And that really hurt us in the Dogs
absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because the next couple of rounds is when Richmond go, oh, shit.
Yeah.
But the part I loved about that game was Richmond came from behind. I think it was just about half time or close to it. They were a good 3-4 goals down. And then it's just like they're going, nah, no, we're not having that.
Mm.
And smacked them. Gave them absolute fucking hiding.
Yeah.
But for their other big wins, I
got to go Freo, the Freo game.
Round 10 Freo. Yeah. Over there as well.
Yeah. That was huge.
I thought just from a strategy standpoint, I was really impressed that Richmond could follow a clear strategy, which Hardwick had, and actually make it pay off against the best team who are undefeated on their home territory. The worst thing is that you probably want to pull that one out later on in the year, because after that happened, that's when the cards started falling for Freo and their game plan got figured out a bit and they had to readjust and reset. And I think it was a trick that we could only play once.
Mm. Well, I mean, the 8-goal first quarter certainly
It was
helped.
8 straight too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And look, you know we're in for a good day when Vickery is actually kicking goals. So.
Yeah.
So do you reckon he's moved on from his Spud tag? Because he was pretty shit last year, but this year he's had some great games.
I'm not 100% sold. Once he finds some consistency, I'll be a little happier. But
consistent forward, that won't fucking
take
off.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think he was definitely better this year, and I was... I was more, you know, excited to watch some of his games, but still, it's just he does some dumb things.
He's exciting to watch. If he's got the ball around the forward 50, it's exciting because you don't know what the fuck's going to happen. Fucking anything.
I think he's done less dumb things.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They're still there.
The occasional like, well, why would you kick it there? And but oh well. Look, overall though, he's definitely had a much better year. You know, he kicked a couple of bagfuls, and what more can you really ask of the guy?
I think he does enough dumb things that it's pretty easy to sort of attribute the good thing he does to Fluke.
Yeah.
So it's always interesting to see what he might come up with.
Rather than an out-of-character punch to Dean Cox's nose or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's what I could never believe, that his dad's a boxing coach of Richmond. Because
if he had half the mongrel.
Yeah, had half the mongrel, and even if he could pretend, you know, have a good stance or something like that.
I think two years ago or something, Richmond had like a invite the fans to like a training camp, right. I think. So they went in and did this like boot camp style session with Vickery's dad running it. And like my dad, you know, likes a bit of whichever. My sister's pretty fit, actually. She does heaps of boot camps and all that kind of stuff. And then they came home and just absolutely wrecked. They got fucking destroyed during these sessions. And they had signed up for like 10 weeks worth of these sessions. And it was great because they're coming home every single time, like crying in the corner.
Did they stuck through it?
Yeah, they got through it. Yeah, but they're both as stubborn as I am. So that was always going to happen, I think.
Richmond supporter, you've got to be stubborn.
Yeah, true. So, that's Ty's problem. He's trying to get over a troubled childhood where he just got fucking flogged to death for 10 years.
And now his dad's working at the club. Can't fucking escape him.
Other big wins. I think the Sydney win up in Sydney. So, I mean, you beat Freo in Freo, Sydney in Sydney, and then Hawthorn at the MCG.
Yeah. This is the thing that shits me with Richmond, right?
In Melbourne?
I've actually noticed it a lot. Well, firstly, our interstate record is awesome. We always play well. But only recently I've started getting into following the EPL and the soccer.
Yep.
Yeah.
And our neighbours across the road, one of them Liverpool fans, so they've got me watching the Liverpool games. And the more I watch Liverpool, the more I realise they're the Richmond of the EPL. Play awesome against the top teams, play shit house against the shit teams, and finish ninth. That's pretty much where they're sitting at the moment, seriously.
And they haven't won a cup since...
it's been a while.
Since it became the Premier League. So, you know, since it became the AFL, Tigers as well. Yeah.
And I think their fans are just as optimistic as well. And not necessarily have a reason to be.
But, I mean, that's why, like, you look at games like the Sydney game, the Hawthorn game. You know, we played some of the best footy we've played. And I feel like our biggest problem, though, is we play to the standard of our opposition.
Yeah.
And that slips us up in a lot of games because we kind of ease off the pedal against, you know.
Yeah.
That's why, like, coming into it was round three against Brisbane. And when we absolutely trounced them.
That's when you get nervous. So.
Yeah, yeah. Those are the games that scare the shit out of me because I'm like, oh, okay. But then we're like, we followed that up at the game against Melbourne. And it was, that was very disappointing.
We'll get to that one.
Yeah.
But the things with, you know, the round 10 against Freo, round 18 against the Hawks, they were both such disciplined four-quarter efforts. Mm. You could see the plans.
Yeah.
And they were held to them for the entire four quarters. It's just very un-Richmond-like. And the fact that they could do that more than once a year. It's amazing. It shows why they're so keen on Hardwick.
Add in the Port win as well. Yep. Like, I don't think I've seen a better goalless quarter.
Was that over there?
I think so, yeah. But yeah, we went... That third quarter, we didn't kick a goal, and it was still the best game of football I've seen us play in a while.
Yeah. Especially since Port exploited us so many times in the previous years with being able to run and spread wide. Yeah, we just never had an answer for it. So it was good to see him come back and beat him over there.
Mm. Good question, though. You beat Collingwood twice. First one in round 7 was a seesawing match, going back and forth, really tough game, and ended up holding on after Collingwood came back to within 5 points. Compare that to round 21... where you gave him a fucking bath, never headed, kicked the first goal, ended up winning by fucking 108 points.
About 90-odd.
Which win's better? Where you're fighting it out and you're just holding on and the supporters have stayed till the end and then you see them walk out en masse crying, or you give them a fucking hiding and they've all left by halftime?
Look, personally, because the way my family works is are Richmond fans and all the girls are Collingwood fans. So
Jesus.
Knowing that I was coming home to my mum crying in the corner after the second Collingwood game was certainly the best one for me. but I think it's nicer seeing us win the close ones. I mean, I hate the heart attack because, like, seriously, if Richmond is not the reason that my blood pressure levels skyrocket during football season, then I have no idea what it is, but... I think it's better to see them on the maturity of the side when you come away with the close wins. I mean, like having the big thumpings, it's great, but the close ones are what get you in the finals.
Yeah.
We missed that, you know, a couple of years ago where we dropped those. We had like 6 games we lost under 10 points.
Yeah.
I think Kangas had that as well last year. Yeah. You had five games or so that, you know, one goal either way, and it's... it's a different story, and that's really what can get you into finals. And that
just the poise at the business end of the match.
Mm.
Well, in those situations, who do you want with the ball in their hands?
Delidio every
time. Yeah, Delidio every time.
Every time.
Best hands in the team by far. Or if it's going down back, Rance is going to be sitting under that ball, and I know that he's going to stop it. I think I'm glad to see that this year was the year that everyone has kind of realised how good Rance actually is.
See, I wish they'd mic him up. Just because I want to know, like, does he sledge? Like, if he's on someone, does he go, oh, fuck your mum?
He knocks at their door and hands on fire.
Let me speak to you about Jesus Christ. And the board's like, fuck that, I'm fucking
I guarantee he knows the best knock-knock jokes.
I think, especially his passive aggression, I think. But I think, especially Rance, he had not much help around the back line. And I think a lot of times, he's inadvertently made himself look like a genius of having these runs from full back through the lines and into centre-half back. But really, he's just looking for someone to handball to. So I think Hardwick said, you get the ball, and you hand pass it to the little guys, we run them by and they'll kick it to someone.
Thing is, I saw that happen quite a few times, and that's exactly what he was doing. He was looking for someone to handball, but Hooley was already sprinting to full forward, and he was too far away to get the handball from him.
I was going to say, Hooley, Koch and Martin, they all don't mind running around for that sneaky little handball.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the other side of the coin then, the worst losses. And I think there's two real standouts there, and that was the round 4 against Melbourne.
Yeah,
and then round 6 against North was that down in Tassie?
Tassie, yeah.
It was just one of the worst spectacles of football to watch.
Yeah, the Kangas game was really frustrating, I think, because that was when Petrie kicked like 7 goals or something. Yeah, that was infuriating. I mean, we just had no answer for the 3 talls. And yeah, it sucks watching those games. I think the Melbourne one, probably the more disappointing, I think, was... I was more disappointed with the fans, actually, to be honest, after that. Like, after that game, you know, you're sitting, the pretty looking, you know, not a great start to the season. We'd beaten Carlton and we'd beaten Brisbane, but we lost to Bulldogs and Melbourne.
Yeah.
And, like...
Well, we didn't know Bulldogs were good
at that stage. Yeah, at that stage, you're kind of like, okay. And everyone's calling for Hardwick to be sacked. And I'm like, look, hang on.
That's standard,
Lids though. Lids isn't in the side. Just relax. Well,
so. That's exactly why I said, like, the round one win against Carlton, while it's a good win, it's a costly one.
Yeah.
Because I think the record with Delidio in the side versus out of the side, like, what, 90% of the losses have happened when Lids isn't playing?
It's almost like yes or no. Is he in there? Then you win. Not... No.
It's dangerously close to it.
Yeah. The North Tassie game, it wasn't Petrie that got you, it was Lindsay Thomas.
Oh, yeah, 5, yeah, yeah.
And
that's
Sean
right.
Higgins bobbed up with 3. And to me, it was Higgins the one was carving you guys up a bit because he was able to transition a lot better.
I think, yeah, he was, but it was Richmond that carved themselves up in that one. They butchered the ball every time they had it. It was, it wasn't even fun. But the round four game against Melbourne, that's when we found out that Jesse Hogan's going to be the future. to dominate Rance like he did. And Rance then had a brilliant season, all Australian fullback.
Yeah.
For a second year player and he's, you know, first year playing, second year on the list, Jesus Christ, it looks scary. Yeah. But where's the help?
Exactly. You know, that's what I think the skill with Hogan was that he made the backmen have to be accountable for more than one person.
Yeah.
And pretty much Rance is the only one that was accountable for anybody. And Hogan just used it to isolate him out. And he's obviously got more speed,
height,
more agility. But as soon as you can pass off.
On that note, I mean, I might be a bit biased because
I hope so. That's why you're here.
No, I know. I was really impressed actually to see Batchelor step up a bit more this year. He started playing. I don't think he missed a game actually. Other than injury or soreness or whatever, but I don't think he was actually dropped for a game if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Which was nice to see because last year he had a pretty off and on year and it was just some costly mistakes, but he definitely picked up his game. Was playing a lot better.
One of those players has always been around the mark too. Yeah. Sort of like, is he going to improve and become an automatic, you know, selection, or is he going to play his 10 games and sit out a few? But no, I don't know if he still hasn't cemented that spot, but he certainly held it.
I mean, because he's not big enough to take the, you know, the real big forwards, but that's why we've got Rance, really. Yeah. I think, it's as long as Rance can take out their number one, I think, between Grimes and Batch, you've got a bit of, you know, running back there. And
I'm a fan of Grimes. I thought he had a couple of, he was almost best on ground in a couple of games.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about him, mate, because he's so little. Like, I feel like he's gonna get crunched every single game.
Yeah, he looks fragile.
He's got that wiry strength, you know, like a Dustin Fletcher.
Actually, it's very similar to me, I think. So that's kind of weird with him, but no, it's good to hopefully he can stay off the injury list this year next year, and we'll see some more of him.
Yeah, he's definitely not short on effort either. It looks like he tries his hardest every time he's out on the field, but sometimes there's an inverse relationship to how hard he's trying and how good it's actually working out.
Now, two other losses that I didn't put into the worst losses. One was the obvious finals, but it was a
what
contest.
Final? I don't know what you're talking about.
But it was a good contest.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those ones that could have gone either way anyway, but it didn't work out. You know, kick a bit straighter, you're right. And the loss against Freo at the MCG because it comes down to one mistake. But you know, it was talked about at the time and that kind of stuff. Shit happens.
Really, that loss cost us top four.
Yeah.
It's as simple as it comes. And you know, you make top four, we still might not win a final and go out in straight.
But at least you get
two
of them.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, I would have had us, because Freo finished top, didn't they? I would have taken us against Freo at Subi.
Against
North every single
with
time.
With a limping Fife.
Absolutely.
So standouts for 2015 then. I mean, there's obvious as Rance, who, like we've already spoken about, held down fullback.
Inaugural golden fist winner of Fox Footy's little...
Was he the inaugural one?
They officially announced it this year, like as their first... I know there was talk of it, because Frawley's really big on his Defender Award.
I know that... Gibson and Lake won it combined in 2013.
Yeah, okay, so they have been doing it more?
They have been doing it for a few years, but he won it this year, you say?
Yeah, he won it this year.
I'm trying to think who won it the first year. It might have been Luke McFarlane.
Okay, I was unsure because I know the first, they actually had it, they gave him the trophy and stuff as everything.
What fist they used as a cast?
Yeah.
Or did they just find a fist sex toy and go, fuck, we'll play it in gold?
They might have gone the Reebok route and just Googled it.
I'm surprised it's not like just a steel pole with just a photoshopped hand. That'd be more.
The other good thing about Alex Rance was he signed a 4-year contract this year. Long, something big. Mm-hmm. And then after he signed the contract, was still fucking kicking it.
Next game after, I can't remember who they played, but we were at the game and he just killed him. Yeah. An absolute blinder. So he actually got better after signing his long-term contract.
See, I was never worried about him not signing. I was more worried about him deciding that he didn't want to play footy anymore.
Yeah.
Because that was the big
talk. That rumour was going around.
That was scary. But I'm glad. I'm certainly... I mean, most of our big stars have signed up for a couple more years now, which is...
Yeah, a few more
seasons. The rumour going around that he might not play was happening. A lot of Richmond supporters suddenly found God because they started. So maybe Rance was like, "Well, I've got all these extra people praying. Maybe that's my role."
Yeah.
Well, the best thing was his missus, I think, was the one that talked him out of it. Where he's like, "You know, I can go and do my own personal stuff, and I've got enough money. I can do that." And she's like, "Yeah, that's all well and good, honey, but we still need some more money, so you can go back to work.
I've got to keep up with Megan Gale now. Yeah.
Go win a Brownlow when they come back to us.
God's great and all, but even God needs money, apparently."
Oh, and how. I was going to say, move on to the ins and outs.
No, I was going to say there are other standouts for the year, just the one. Brett Dalidio, obviously. Yeah. He's still all Australian as well, coming off the halfback. The only thing was he didn't play enough games.
Yeah.
It hurts. Yeah. And, you know, we've already spoken about it. Is that going in really hard in that first contest, that kind of hurts.
Yeah.
I think one more to add, though. Definitely, it was nice to see that this year people are recognising how good Shane Edwards has become.
Yeah.
Such a shame when he got injured.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Especially with Matty White out of the side. He really stepped up and played that free running role perfectly, really well. And you're confident when he's got the ball. You know he's going to do something good with it.
And something I'm really like impressed with, like Anthony Miles as well.
Yeah. Anthony Miles.
Great between game. The two of them, like that's... I mean, you know, Lids is getting a little bit old now. It's scary to think that Lids is old because I remember when he first started and now it's taken
29 or 30, I think.
Yeah. That's scary. But like having Miles and having Titch in the side, like it's great to see we've finally got some people actually getting recognition for getting up toward that elite stage. And I think Edwards is at that point now.
And sort of ticking all the boxes for what you need to have a good finals team. You can't just have like one or two out-and-out stars that are easy to sort of zone out of a game. But you have those little ones that pop up and make a huge difference overall to your win-loss ratio, more or less.
Well, with that, Dusty Martin, did he play to his potential this year, or do you think he needs to get more consistency?
Well, I think the problems are you need more people around him to take some heat off him. And I think Cochran's too easy tagged out of a game. And so a lot of times you can really not... You can isolate the effectiveness of Martin by isolating the people around him as opposed to matching up directly on him.
Well, I always compare Richmond and North just because, you know, I go for North. And they match up very, very similarly. Like, Martin is very much like a Zeeble in that they're quite hard. They'll earn their own ball and then look for someone else who's a bit silkier, like Swallow/Cochin.
Yeah.
Cochin and Martin are probably the two better ones, but it's North's ruckman. Goldstein will kill Marich 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
That's...
Well, not literally. I think Marich will fuck him up.
on the field, in the car park, it's a different fucking story. But the upside of Richmond is so fucking brilliant because the one difference they have is they've got a much younger side.
Yeah.
And Martin, Cochin, those guys are going to be around for quite a while yet.
I think Martin's 24 or something, isn't he?
Yeah.
About that?
He's younger than you think.
He looks 37. And if he can stay out of prison, he's going to be a fucking superstar. But we've been saying that for a while, and his highlight reel is brilliant.
Yeah.
But his week in, week out, quarter in, quarter out effort, I think, needs some work.
Yeah. I mean, if he goes to jail, he'll come back and be a star for Collingwood.
The thing with Martin, I know 2014, a lot of the times when we need one goal to win, and it's the final quarter, they do the isolation play and put him down forward. And there were two or three games where that worked for him.
Yeah.
It got a little predictable this year, and I think people smarten themselves up to it. But yeah, he should be like, we should be talking about Martin during Brownlow Medal.
Exactly.
Provided he's not suspended, which is a big provider.
And the thing is, when he's isolated down in the goal square, he needs another Martin to kick it to him because he's one that can get the ball down there. So that's
actually
the
that's where I think Corey Ellis. He had one kick. That really just blew my mind. And he set Lids up in the forward pocket. I can't remember the game, but he's drilled that from 70 out to top corner of the goal square. And even the Lids was kind of just like, oh, hang on.
Ellis kicked one straight.
Wasn't expecting that.
This just fell perfectly to him. And, it was nice seeing that coming out.
I got a feeling it was Ellis,
It
just feels like the Hawthorn
game. I thought that was a Collingwood game.
Yeah. Good.
But then again, I was pretty drunk because I had corporate box seats, so I was mashed.
Yeah. But still, look, I'll take Martin one-on-one against anybody in the comp every single time.
Interesting, we're talking about standouts for Richmond. You know, we've mentioned Dalidio, Rance, Miles, Edwards, and Martin. Didn't mention Rewalt, who made All-Australian.
Yeah.
Nice job making All-Australian. On the forward flank.
Well, like we've always said, if you go to the match, then you really see what full forwards do. Because when you're a team that, I mean, traditionally haven't had a whole lot going on the forward lines, then you forget what they're doing behind what hard work they're putting in to sort of free up play going in the forward line.
That was Matthew Richardson in a nutshell.
The day Richmond do not have a full forward that has passion and emotion into the game, is the day I leave the club.
In fairness, a lot of that passion and emotion is well fucking earned, because I remember seeing on the TV, you see Revolt or even Richo back in the day lose their shit because the ball's gone over the head. You think, oh, fucking come on, mate. You don't get laced out every time. Yeah. But then you see what's happened. He's run forward, run back, pointed where he wants the fucking ball, and they've just gone, nah, I'm kicking it to the top of the square. He's like, fuck, I was just fucking there, you dickhead.
Go on the torpy.
And then Martin's off, go on the top. Fuck, you're 80 out. Don't do that. Shit, it's gone straight through. All right, well, fair enough. Don't fucking do it again, but fuck.
I'd like you to talk about the top of the podcast with Richmond trying to get into social media more. The worst thing they did was discourage people like Jack Riewoldt and Jake King from getting on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, they fucked up a little bit. They were hilarious.
Yeah. And Riewoldt was funny.
It shows they're real people too.
Jake King's was Exhibit A. His was actually used in court, I believe.
I have a lot of time for Jakey King.
I love Jake King. Great. Good fun.
Yeah, we want to get him on the podcast, but we don't want to tell him where we live.
So if we look forward to 2016, then here you go, Josh. Here's your chance for your big ins. Well, there's one big in.
There's a Rioli that's not Maurice.
That's a draftee, but that's all right.
Because he's Maurice.
That's an in. That's an in.
Yeah,
that's all right. A huge in. Well, we got. Well, yeah.
It's Yaron, maybe?
Chris Yaron. He's the only in, put it that way.
Yeah. And so, Townsend.
So Chris Yaron's the big one. And now... speculative pick over from Carlton. I thought the most amazing thing was finding out his age. Because, again, I think he's only 25.
Mm. Is he really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
He looks 34.
Fuckballs. Yeah, I thought he was 33.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's only 25. But it's a bit like North picking up Jared Waite. You know what you're getting.
You know he's going to fuck Richmond at some point.
Yes.
But he fits right into the Richmond mold of like, I've got a highlight reel that's going to blow you away, and then I'm going to do something really stupid.
And it can be the same play. He can have a nice long running bounce, go 80 metres, and all of a sudden everyone's like, yeah, go,
and then
on the full.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm hoping his role is going to be just doing a really good thing here or there, that we don't have to rely on him to actually play a role, if that makes sense, or like an integral role.
I can't see him start. I think he'll stay in the forward line most of the year. Yeah. I think that's where we're really lacking. Our back line's pretty good, I'd say. We got Ellis and stuff running off the half back.
Yeah,
and Vlosten.
Yeah, we've already kind of got that role, but we don't have a good small forward. And that kills us. Like, we had Moore playing that role this year. And yeah. I mean,
Edwards did it when he was, before he broke his leg.
See, honestly, I think Yaron's a good pickup, because watching the few Carlton games I did watch, because they were fucking painful to watch, he was one of the few guys who was consistently hungry and angry at the ball and working his ass off. And in a team that didn't give a fuck, that stood out.
By the end of the season, he didn't give a fuck.
I'm going to say
he gave less fucks, but
everyone else did too. So
the amount of fucks he gave was still well above what the average teammate did.
Yeah, there were some games where the entire team though gave up, and he was the front runner for that. But we know the skills there.
But in saying that, that's where I think Choco Williams is
such
a good person to have at the club for that exact reason.
What a brilliant off-field move that was.
But how many players can he take under his wing?
He's got all of them.
He's got you've got Cousins back there now, so maybe Cuz can look after a couple.
Yeah, I did see that photo, actually. I was pretty surprised seeing that one pop up. But
he looks in good nick.
Hey, man, if you can go through that many years of drug abuse and come out looking that good, maybe there's something in it.
You deserve your own commercial.
Well, hey, we've just said Lemmy only just died today.
Yeah.
And he was fucking 70-something. And Jack and Coke every single day.
He'd started to try and quit all that shit.
That's what happened. So maybe Cuz just needs to stay on the gear.
Yeah.
He might make a comeback. He'll end up playing at fucking Werribee or some shit.
I don't think Cuz needs to be told twice that. He's in. He's up for it.
I think Yaron he'll get kicked in the line pretty quick. I mean, hopefully it can show on the field as well.
Yeah. And I think motivation's probably a big thing for him as well, where getting out of Carlton was probably a big motivation. Yeah. So not giving a fuck was beneficial to that cause.
Let's be honest, he's much more likely to play in a final at Richmond. May not win one, but more likely to play in one.
Yeah. More likely to get beat up too if he doesn't pull his weight around.
Boxing or, practice every day, all day.
Or, you know, Dusty, if he's playing up, Dusty goes, hey, let's go for Chinese food.
Meet your new roommate. Or, hey, let's go for a haircut.
I'm a walrus. Yeah. Oh.
Got Dusty now, in charge of player development or something.
Now, the other end, like we say, the draftees, you've got Daniel Rioli. Now, there's reason to be excited there beyond just his surname.
The fact that you're really disappointed.
Absolutely.
In the Hawthorn, not 100%.
I would have taken him, not just because there's that surname.
That is a massive part of it.
Of course it is. But during the camp testing, what are they called? The combine testing. Yeah. He won the clean hands test. Now, I don't know what that test is, but I'm assuming it's...
He just washes his hands lots. Yeah. After a time he takes a piss.
If it is using, you know, the dead old, then good. That's something you want. Cleanliness is...
next to godliness. Yeah. And Rance is very big on that.
Rance is very big on that. But if it means picking up the ball first grab and that kind of stuff, which is becoming more and more a reason why teams lose. And I thought, if you can get somebody around goals, you know, you want that crumbing small forward, you can have an impact straight away.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we had the, sorry, I remember he said in an interview or something, he's like, he's given shit to about Cyril being old and slow and stuff. And then Cyril's come out and going, yeah, you know what? He'd probably outrun me nowadays.
Well, the big thing with Cyril that we've talked about endlessly is his ability to keep his feet. He'll go up for a mark, land on both feet, and be ready to handball, kick, whatever.
Yeah.
And if Rioli, Daniel, can bring that same skill, it's going to be brilliant for Richmond's forward line or even straight to the middle. Martin does that too. His ability to keep his feet is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
But if you've got a forward line that's able to keep their feet in a contest, make that second, third, fourth effort, while the defender's on the ground appealing to the umpire for some bullshit free kick or whatever, you're going to fucking make a lot of good score conversions.
Especially with young players trying to get their feet in the AFL system and getting used to, you know, the limelight and what's expected of you. Somebody that has such a rich family history. And you know he's got his... Cyril is his uncle, right?
Uncle, yeah.
Uncle, so, great cousin, somewhere like that.
You know that in the long Rioli family, like, family's strong.
Yeah.
he is nothing for him to go call his uncle. I think he's been staying with Cyril for a little bit as well. Yeah. So he's got that eye in already. So you know he can hit the ground running. So I'd be really surprised if we don't see him for a few games this year in his first season.
Yeah, I was actually, it was kind of funny though. So I met him at the AGM because they had all the first year players introduce them there. It was kind of cool. Like, most of them stuck around for photos and stuff afterwards, and sat next to him, got a photo, and I realised that it was kind of depressing knowing that he's considered extremely small when I was the same size as him. And like, I don't see myself as a little guy anymore. Yeah. But,
I remember thinking the same thing once when I was sitting like two rows back and Clinton Young walked past. Yeah. He's one of the little weedy players. I got to look at him like, oh, he's quite big.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I still think I can take him.
So I had that moment, I think we were in Sydney once when North played Sydney and they had a meet the members because North Melbourne had three members at the time. And I shook hands with Corey McKernan. Yeah, his fucking hand was the size of my chest. Yeah. And he just enveloped, just like, fuck me, this guy's a massive unit. And biceps the size of two of me.
Speaking of that, with North too, one of their trainers, I reckon he's bigger than Corey McKernan. Remember every time we go there, they've got one trainer.
He's not about, taller.
He'd go close. He'd be a good 6'4", 6'5".
He's a big fucking unit.
The biceps are there though.
And he makes sure that he uses it too, because I reckon he's got the T-shirt from the girls who are running. Going, nah, that's right, fucking the size I want.
The other draftee we've got to talk about is Oleg.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, another cult figure of Richmond. Yeah. Just what we needed.
Who I'm going to call Taktarov from now on, because Oleg's Taktarov is my favorite old school UFC fighter. You guarantee, as soon as that name was read out, Ivan's going, my boy.
Yeah.
I loved it was such a little like highlight snippet of him.
Yeah.
And he had kicked a goal and the whatever he was playing in for. And after he's kicked it, he's run into the open goal, kicked it, turned around, done the signal for the goal, and walked off.
So he's got a bit of larrikin about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You gotta let's lay your own trap a bit.
Why not? If you got that flexibility, go for it. It is something that, you know, cult figure from the moment he walks into the club.
100%.
Yeah.
Especially the Ivan paving the way for him for our love of what the fuck you call him?
Soccer.
Yeah.
Eastern Europeans.
Eastern Europeans, yeah. That's what
we're for. Yeah, and he was exactly the same thing. There's already that love there. They just go, oh, we've got two of them now. Now, the only downside I'll say is he is from South Australia. So if there is go-home factors, you never know. Because their other draftee was Nathan Broad, who's also from WA.
Yeah,
and WA seems to have the biggest go-home factor. But, you know, I reckon with old Uncle Ivan there, he's going to be just fine. So,
yeah.
You are not going to be leaving my club.
Well, I mean, look, even though they're a rookie draft in the pickups, I don't know, he's Marobol Chol, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, they've nicknamed him Robbo. because nobody can pronounce the first name. But, he was fun to have a chat with as well. Like, he's pretty keen to get out there and show what he can do.
I'm glad they nicknamed him, because otherwise it's going to be like, oh yeah, kick to me.
Robbo!
that's fantastic. I didn't know Robbo.
With Ivan and Oleg and everyone though, do you reckon Richmond are ever going to have home poker games? Just because you got those two, and then you got Teddy, Dusty Martin turning up.
And just Teddy KGB impersonations.
A little Russian roulette game going on in the back.
No one's going to end up owing anyone money because they're going to be too afraid to.
Even at home, we're still an away team.
Just don't invite Hodgie. Or at least call him an Uber or something. Oh, wouldn't that be a great sponsorship? Hodgie with an Uber. Anyway. So let's look at the outs for this year, because they have lost a lot of their senior players. And whoever's the list manager down there has got something against Matthews, because they've lost Matthew D, Matthew Arnott, Matthew Thomas, and Matthew McDonoghue. So there's four Matthews they've lost in 1 year. That's not a bad effort.
A lot of our smaller guys in that, D's pretty fast and quick, but just the problem is it's just small. we got other people to fill the roles, and that's really more what it came down to.
Like Terry Wallace used to call them list cloggers.
Mm.
They're not in your best 22, but they might be, you know, the 24th, 25th, 30th best on your list.
Yeah. I think they recruited like only a few years ago, so the players who were coming to the team around the same time just did a better job, and they're always there, thereabouts. And
they're spare tyres.
Exactly, yeah. And on top of that, you also lost Newman, who's going to hurt.
That's
a lot of leadership around the club. But, you know,
Newman's probably the saddest I've felt at the end of a game. I mean, look, obviously losing the final sucked. Having to be there to see Newman go, you know, back... One of my earliest footballing memories is I think it was grade two, grade one or something. Grade one or grade two. We had a footy clinic at school, and Newnham was one of the Richmond players who came down.
Damn,
no fucking clue who he was. He's one of the few that's
been to school.
Yeah, no idea who the guy was. I was like, oh, they could have at least got us someone good. I can't for the life of me remember who the other guy was. And you know, now it's been so many years, and you know, I still remember that clinic because Newnham ended up, you know, sticking through. And
the other guy was Matty Richardson.
No big deal. But yeah, it was really hard. And I know, like dad was pretty sad about Newnham going as well, because it was one of our favorites. So
it was one of the more respected players going around, but not just his own team, but other teams as well.
Oh, you know, when you go 270 games without playing a final or something,
it was a feel good story.
Yeah,
and so respected that he's walked straight into a coaching job at Hawthorn. So he's one of the development coaches there.
And
so
then he'll be back at Richmond in 5 years. The Alistair Clarkson School of Richmond coaches.
In fairness, Hawthorn had to do some replacing because all their coaches got fucked off to other teams. Yeah. So there was some jobs going there.
It's just what we do. We give.
Yeah, I think you've got about five ready to graduate out of your seniors list anyway.
I think they're pretty much assistant coaches right now. Chris Knights, who unfortunately just had injury after injury. It's one of those ones where you go, you know what, mate, you probably should give this away.
Yeah. You just feel bad for the guy. Like, he just, you know,
works so hard to get back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Take up poker.
I was headed. It really surprised me.
Yes.
It surprised me Ricky he was playing that year. Yeah.
Surprised he was still on the list.
I honestly forgot he was on the list.
I think he did too. So when he got delisted, he's like, what, again? Oh, no, I'm good. So let's look at 2016. First thing we'll look at is the draw, the double up games. Now, this is where Richmond have really got some hard yards this year, I think.
Yeah.
So they got double ups against the Hawks, the Swans, Port, Collingwood, and Essendon. None of those you're going to say are easy double ups. Because
Collingwood is.
Is it? We don't know. Because Collingwood,
yeah,
they've got a good list, but they could still be shit.
Yeah. Well, they've got a shit coach. Now, Richmond will smash them.
In saying that, though, just looking at the fixture now, if we win that those first two games against Carlton and Collingwood
first two,
again, Tiggy Train, we'll be on track. That's the way to go.
You've got Carlton, Collingwood, obviously in Melbourne. Adelaide in Melbourne, which that would be the danger one for you.
Yeah, at Etihad.
Once you're away at West Coast, you're sorted. As long as you're not playing in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're golden.
It's actually that actually just scrolling there. You've got
I can say the key games I've got is
Hawks, Sydney, Frio in a row. That's
And Port, yeah. Port before that.
Yeah.
Now
that's tough.
The issue there is you've actually got Melbourne before that four, because I've penciled in the key games being round 6 to 9.
Yeah.
If they can win at least two of those games, they're sorted for the year.
Yep.
But it's the Melbourne game before it.
Mm. Yeah.
Because if they're looking at the next month and they forget about Melbourne. And Melbourne are going to be better this year than they were.
They're a bogey team of ours too.
Yeah, they're going to be better in 2016 than they will be in 2015. But
the run to the finals isn't too bad though, looking at it.
I think they travel once in the last 6 weeks or something.
Man, even those mid games, what are we, interstate like once there? Like,
you may have.
Six Adelaide.
You travel six times, yeah. Which is the minimum.
I've got to go down to Tassie to take on North.
I think all by... I think five of them are in the first... four of them are in the first 12 rounds before the bye. And then you've got one interstate match at Port, at Adelaide Oval. Yep. And then in round 24 or 23, whatever it is these days, SCG, Richmond, Sydney.
Last round of the year. But like this year, they're doing the bye in round 24 anyway.
Yeah.
It's less of an issue.
Honestly, based on last year, over in Sydney, you obviously beat Sydney, and I reckon good chance to do it again.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, two years or stuff, we had that win against Sydney to cap off the 9 in a row to make the finals.
I could almost say you can't see where Richmond would lose.
Well, I remember that game. It was just like the ball would just bounce our way. I still remember
it was in the stars.
Yeah. It was from the first, maybe the first or third goal or something. It's gone long in the forward line and just bounced at a right angle into someone running to open goal. And you straight away, we got this one.
I remember seeing there was some footage, Channel 7 shot of Mick Molloy down to the sidelines.
Watching that game. The best. Fantastic. Well, the same they are, because Richo was working in Melbourne. In that game.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're doing like the halftime show or something. And he's like, guys, just shut up. Yeah. He's got a little TV set up.
What I love about that is you know it's not for the cameras.
Yeah.
He's not playing it up at all.
Yeah. No, he called in and said to boss, I can't come in today. Yeah. Nah. No, we need you, Rich. Well, fuck, I'm doing it with fucking. There's going to be a TV right next to me. Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck, all right.
Yeah. And then when the siren goes, he just like mid broadcast stands up. Yeah. Talk to the crowd.
And some birds to everyone.
Fantastic. Love it.
It's how it should be, man.
He loves the damn team so much. I mean, you never want to see him coach the team, but you love having him around.
No, I think Richo knew what his role was, and that was to kick goals and abuse people.
And he loved both bits of that.
Yeah, he was.
So, who are you looking for a big year? Who's going to stand out for Richmond in 2016?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, definitely, I want seeing Miles keep that consistency up. What was the one of the new guys we got in as well, very Miles-like, from GWS, I believe. Is he another Moore?
It was Miles, wasn't it?
No, it was another Moore. No, you
do have a Moore on the list.
Yeah, we got another Moore in. I can't remember his name. There's another one we got in from... I can't remember off the top of my head. But he's a very similar style to Miles, so I'm looking forward to actually seeing both of them.
Oh, was it Townsend?
Townsend, that's the one.
Yeah.
So Miles is definitely key, I think.
Well, we've already spoken about it, but I reckon a sneaky outsider for All Australian could be Shane Edwards if he plays the whole season.
It's the positions that he's sort of competing for. We usually get taken up by the Cyrils and people who are more up the top of the ladder.
See, I reckon he's got more run. He can play up the ground a little bit more. And he found his role and was very comfortable in it this year. It was the injuries that took it away from him.
I think another big one for me, I want to see, like, I know Brandon Ellis, I mean, he gets huge numbers in possession. He gets recognised in the best. But watching the game, I don't think you don't feel his presence like you do. When Martin does something fantastic, you know he's done something fantastic. Yep. With Ellis, I mean, he's kind
of... tells you.
But, you know, it'd be good to see, hopefully, him come out this year and really, you know, win a game off that run.
Yep.
And I think that's probably the one thing that we haven't seen from him. I mean, his consistency is great. I mean, we're going back and forth. We've got Martin's, he's flashy, but no consistency. And we've got consistency, we want more flash. But, you know, it's
that happy medium.
Yeah. I'd just like to see him really just control a game. Kind of like, you know, Rance can control that back line.
Yep.
He can own that game. But I feel like Ellis is kind of he cleans up, but he doesn't impose. He's got a dominant.
And he's got to learn his left foot, man. It's fucking shit out.
Well, the one I want to see improve would be Bashahuli, because I think he can be such a weapon when he gets it right, and he's such a liability when he doesn't.
Yeah, and I think he proved for the season too. I think so.
Yeah, well, I mean, the pickup from fullback that he had
against Frio.
Yeah.
That, well, did cost them the match.
Look, to be fair, we should have won the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, exactly. Right.
Absolutely.
And like we were talking before, in that situation, Basher should be taking that kick. Should be Delario or Cochin?
No. But the good thing was they actually made him take the kick next week as well. They made
you
him
got
take
it.
Kick
yeah.
It'll be interesting with Newnham gone now, actually, whether Basher takes it permanently.
Because he used to take a lot, didn't he?
Yeah, he took most of them. So, yeah, you think I think Basher would probably be the front runner for taking those kick-ins.
And if he can get consistent and be a little bit smarter with his options, he's going to be a deadly running halfback.
Yeah. I think the other one I'd like to see step up and just really impose his presence on a game consistently would be McIntosh. I think he came
He was really impressive this year.
We should have mentioned him in the standouts because I think he's mature age, first year player on the list.
Yeah.
He was brilliant, especially in round one.
I was fucking stoked. I had him in my super coach team and he smashed gold from day one.
Yeah, so I think he can provide the run and the smarts to really back up sort of Rance and pushing from the half back line through to the half forward line and make them be accountable for that section of the field, which really disrupts their zoning off when we're sort of transitioning from defense into attack. So I think players like him, I'd like to see Cochin step up when we need someone to step up, if that makes sense. Almost like a James Hurd or something. Same thing I feel with Ellis.
It's like, I mean, Cochin off the field is brilliant, and that's why he's captain. People know about his performance on the field, but, you know, there's a lot more to being captain than just
great
on the field. Yeah.
Otherwise, they'd have Dusty. I don't know how that would go.
It'd be better if he just shaved his head.
I think so. But, I mean, with Cochin, you really want to see him commands, you know, that respect. I think from just the general public now that he is a top player. And I mean, you see it with Maric on the field, and he's loud and he's out there.
Loves
and,
a goal.
loves a soccer goal. That was brilliant against Sydney. Yeah.
Goal
of the year.
Well, what are you expecting from Revolt this year?
I just got to keep going as he's doing.
Yeah.
I don't think you can ask any more of the guy from what he did this year.
Definitely changed roles.
Yeah.
He has. He's much up the field a lot more, we've seen.
Some of his best games were when he didn't really kick goals or have a presence in the forward line. It was more playing wing to forward line.
He still kicked 11 against GWS, but it was a shit game.
Yeah, exactly.
It does seem they have changed his role. Or maybe they've changed his contract. His KPI is not the same anymore. He's incentivized on team score rather than his own.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I actually prefer having Rewald up the ground, because if we do get those one-on-one contests with Martin in the forward, I'll take it every single time.
Yeah.
But Rewald has that presence, and I really like seeing that, because he hits hard and he goes after it.
Oh, yeah, he's one of those. He'll stand on people's heads and take an absolute blinder.
But he runs. It's back and forth and back and forth.
He's a Rewald.
I am disappointed he didn't hold that mark, though, because that would have been mark of the year.
It might be interesting if they do play him out of the goal square more, if Daniel Rioli becomes what we think he will become.
Or even having Yaron there for the you know, when if he is down up in the forward.
Yep.
Having somebody there to actually take care of business on inverted history.
Yeah.
Because you know that even if it's 6-on-1, that ball was hitting the ground if Rewalt's going up.
There was talks in the off-season of getting Stevie J after he got offloaded from Geelong. And I reckon it might not have been a bad idea, but it didn't happen, so it doesn't matter.
One thing I've just noticed, how much pull do you reckon Bruce McAvaney has with the AFL? It'd be a fair bit,
I reckon he's almost like, you know, the Rothschild of
I reckon AFL, he has a pool of fear behind
That's what I'm saying, because when Richmond play Hawthorn, the host network's Channel 7.
Rioli.
And Bruce, he's got two Riolis on the field. He's just going to have to have a bit of a lie down.
He's going to have a stroke with each hand, I think.
He's going to need protein drinks. He's going to need to keep his strength up. Fuck,
he's going to need an IV drip. Fucking hell.
Be carb loading for weeks.
He's going to come out just looking fucking drained.
I'm glad they don't do shots of the commentary box, because he might be strung up like Michael Hutchins or something during the game.
He's got the belt tied on.
He's got two scarves, one Hawthorn, one Richmond.
He's not waving a jacket there.
So who's on the chopping block for Richmond this year? And I got two names down, and that's Tyrone. He's Richmond personified. He's always on the chopping block.
Yeah.
And Sean Hampson.
Yeah.
Because he's still there.
No, his missus will keep him there.
Oh, but they've split, haven't they?
Have they?
Yeah, they split. Then. Yeah, that was very disappointing for Richmond.
Why the fuck's he still got a gig?
What's he doing there, then?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure they've split.
It's like if you cut off Stewie Jew's left leg. What's left?
Yeah. But, Hampson will be... I don't think he'll be around at the end of next year, but the problem is if Marriage gets injured, we are...
Yeah.
But Griffin improved again this year, but you just got to
stay healthy.
Yeah, you got to get him on the park.
With Hampson, they should have traded him. They should have done like they did with Carlisle, trade him and then release the news that he's broken up with Megan. By then you could be like,
still got in saying that, Hampson did play one really, really good game this year when he did come in. I can't remember who it was.
It was over in the West, wasn't it?
Yeah, it might have been. He played beautifully. It was really good to see.
You're right, though, but one.
Yeah, one game, and that's not enough.
Every team's got that player that they show you a bit, and you're like, oh, that's fucking fantastic. They put it all together. It's brilliant. And then next week, oh, they're shit again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the baseline for how many good games you can sort of have and still be in the team should be Tyrone plus one. So if Tyrone has two good games, you need three games.
Yep, you need somebody else just to cover up the losses.
I think sometimes it's just the recruiting manager to go, no, he'll come good. He'll definitely come good.
You almost use him as a relegation zone line. Below that, nah, done. That way you know the pressure's on before the end of the season. You can start picking it up when finals come around.
I also think with the inclusion of Yaron, with the inclusion of Rioli, I think Moore is definitely going to be struggling to get a game this year.
Yeah.
I don't really see it happening. His intensity is awesome, and it's brilliant that having that pressure. But I think he's just lacking the skill to really cement his spot in the side. And they had the experiment with him up forward most of the year this year, but it just didn't seem to be working. And I don't think he has the flash for a small forward.
Yep.
I think he definitely played better in the back line, but. Our back line, I think we're pretty set now. So I think he'll definitely find it hard to get a game.
Do you think it's Chaplin's last run round, or has he got one more in him?
That's a tough one.
I think that's going to be the question for him.
If he stays healthy, I think he'll go another.
Because he's still a smart footballer.
Yeah.
And you want him down there for that, like that on-field coaching.
We want him to be like our Brian Lake. So we want him to be down the back line.
I don't know, except Brian Lake.
But just someone to give Rance a bit of backup there is nice, I think. It just depends kind of how the roles change as well. If Ellis keeps playing Ellis and Hooley keep playing that running off the half-back role, then we kind of definitely need Chaplin to stick around and hold out that last line of defense. And I suppose it really comes down to, again, how good Batchelor is playing.
And Griggs.
Griggs, definitely. With Batchelor, if he was just that little bit bigger, I think he could take Chaplin's spot there. But
I said all year the problem with Basher, not Batchelor, is that whenever he gets the ball, if he can run 60 and kick, he'll run 60 and kick, regardless of what other options there are. If he has that option to run, he'll do it. So I think he improved this year on that. So if he matures again, then he becomes a weapon.
Yeah, he went to someone.
And then with Yaron in the side as well, that puts pressure on Batchelor and guys like Griggs as well, because they're all, I see, less shut down than Batchelor is, but still those players that you want to move the ball through the midfield and get those 50 entries.
Good luck getting a hand pass off any of them, though.
The other bloke I reckon needs to lift, and this might be one you disagree with, but is Marriage. There's no other ruckman that can take his spot at the moment. But they're going to be trading him because he's 29 years old. And, he's got a few years left in him. But Ruckman can break down any time from here until the time they're 34.
This is what really scares me. I mean, like, I love Marich because he's really a commander out on the field.
What effort you're getting from him week in.
Exactly. But if he does go down early, we're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Looking at his stats, so he's only averaging 25 hitouts and 13 possessions, which they're above average. But you need well above average, if you get what I mean. Like his effort, he'd be in the top 20 ruckman in the comp, or in the top 15. But you need top 5.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's. I think where he steps up though is like I'm okay with him not getting as many helps because I know we've got a pretty good midfield
He's almost a shutdown ruckman.
Well, it's like I mean when we play against Frio and stuff, it's like we know Sanderland's going to get every single hit out.
Yeah.
So. Marius just makes it awkward enough to him that we know where that hit out is going to.
Like David Hale made a career out of that.
Yeah.
He was never a dominant ruckman, but he was handy around the ground, which Marius is.
Yeah.
And Marins is certainly more physically imposing. I think...
It's a mullet. He hides like the razor blade.
Absolutely, it is.
It's actually not a bad short kick as well for a ruckman.
Yeah, no. That's the thing. I don't think he makes as many stupid mistakes as you expect from a ruckman.
That's
yeah.
what I mean. He's slightly above average in everything.
Yes.
But we, Richmond need him to be a little bit better than that.
Mm. I think it's definitely if he starts getting some more hit outs, I think that's the key. I mean,
but who's putting pressure on him though at Richmond? That's the problem.
Yeah, that's.
Again, who's brave enough to?
Yeah. I meant for his position. Like, you got Hampson, who's not there.
No one's going to do it.
Vickery, who... You know,
but Vickery is more comfortable playing forward.
Yeah.
And I think the team's better with
And same too. Same with Griffiths. We haven't really
Griffiths
seen
just can't stay on the park.
Yeah, we haven't seen his ruck capabilities as much. Mm. Like in the elimination final, and they had him at half forward. And it's probably not the right call bringing him back in. I think so rusty. Yeah. But
look, the main thing with Marek is when it comes down to it, if there's a penalty shot at the end, you want Marek.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the form there. So the big question then is, where have we got Richmond finishing this year? Where have you got him on the ladder?
I've got him finishing very optimistic sixth, because I was looking at when doing the ladder, the toughest part is pretty much sixth down to about 15th or something like that. And so I'm looking at who I can fit into the bottom half of the top eight. And let me bring it up. So I had, for the fifth down to eighth, I had Hawks, Tigers, Dogs, Crows. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I think GWS is going to fit in there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the only team I can take out is Richmond. sorry, GWS. Don't think you're playing finals next year, guys.
The thing with GWS is, like this year, they lose Mumford and go, oh, they're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
Josh, where you got them?
I've got them seventh, and I reckon that's pretty solid. I think they'll do better than guys like Port, I think Bulldogs, Gold Coast. I've tipped Collingwood to drop off dramatically because, well, I'm an optimist. But being a North supporter, you kind of have to. But I think they'll have a pretty solid season, especially in the back half of the season. We'll see them drop a few games they shouldn't in the first half, I think. But post-bye, around 14 onwards, I think they're going to really start smashing it. Build up some momentum and maybe go on that...
We should have Martin back by then.
Maybe go on a 10-match win streak like they did a couple of years back and hit finals with a bit of momentum.
Well, that's the other thing we should mention. Like, we're recording this before any punishment for Martin has been meted out. And
which I don't think anything will happen anyway.
I don't think so.
Now the charges all got dropped.
I'm going to say, now that the police are out, I mean...
Yeah. They'll take the public whack and be like, yeah, but we still got Martin playing.
Yeah. Dusty, you're a dickhead, but...
What's the Hodge law? It's like, you're a dickhead, shouldn't have done it, but yeah, we can probably use you.
Where you got him finishing, Richie?
Look, I think from a club perspective, if we finish below six, you'll be disappointed. I think I don't think we're going to be... I just can't see us making top four, as optimistic as I am. I think the problem is we are, as you said, we're going to drop those games that we shouldn't. Mm. And that's we're always going to do that. And then until we stop doing that, I think that's... That's going to cost it. And not even, I think, a case of we're not going to be good enough. I just think that other teams are going to step up a bit better.
Especially in the States where they've got a clear advantage of home games. Where being a Melbourne-based team, your home ground advantage isn't as much a home ground advantage.
But that's always been Richmond's strong point, is playing those interstate games.
Yeah, that's the problem. If you're a Richmond supporter, you probably live in Melbourne and you don't see them at their best.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, look, when you look at who you're going to pick in the top four, I mean, it's pretty tough to pick out... Melbourne-based teams in there.
Well, see, the problem with Richmond I've put in, the good thing and the bad thing is their double-up games are against other clubs that we expect to be competing for those final spots.
Yeah.
So their destiny's in their own hands.
Yeah, so you win those games, that solidifies your position.
And you lose one of them, you start getting the yips.
Yeah. Really, and it's going to be scary looking seeing that Sydney game as the last game, because...
Yeah.
If you need it. Yeah,
yeah, it could that's be really important.
That, I mean... Really, that could be who gets the fourth spot.
Absolutely, yep. Could be. The good thing is, Longmire comes from the Ross Lyon, Paul Ruse school, where they like to rest people in the last round regardless.
Yeah.
Having said that, I've picked them to finish ninth just because,
you're a bastard.
You're a comedian.
But for the same reason, like, they could finish top four.
Yeah.
They really could. Or the wheels could fall off and they could finish 14th.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's, and that's what happens when you do your ladders in, December.
Yeah, straight after.
No, look, definitely though, if we drop below six this year, I mean, especially if we don't win a final this year,
yeah,
that's
The other thing struggle. Is, I think the worst mistake they could do is go looking for a coach in the offseason. Hardwick's the man.
Yeah. Not going to happen at all. Yeah. I think
he'll get re-signed before round one.
This is why I absolutely love having Gale as the CEO there, because he's not prone to making knee-jerk reactions, and that's huge.
Like, his time with the AFLPA really has helped Richmond's administrators understand the players as well as the club needs. And I think he is a massive big plus for Richmond's admin team.
Oh, 100%.
But one other thing I'm looking at, AFL have managed to really capitalise on Richmond's ability to draw a crowd. We've got them on 13 night matches, which is always great for television, and 6 Friday night games.
And the best part of that is I work 9 to 5 Saturday, Sunday.
So you can watch more.
All the Friday night games I can make and all the Saturday night games I can make.
Exactly, so you're getting value.
Yeah. And we're just under 54,000 members too already.
And I think Carlton disappointed they didn't get more Friday night games apparently. But everyone who watches Carlton...
They got Wednesday afternoon games.
I think we'll definitely be hitting that 75,000 this year. And if we win, you know, if you win 4 A first 5... I know 5 out of the first 6 happen to flute that. They'll hit 80,000 this year.
Well, if Richmond end up with more members than Collingwood, do you reckon we're going to have press red for Mick
or something? They did press red for KB.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, they had KB, they had Flea, they had they had 3 of them. Awesome to listen to. So biased, but so brilliant.
I'm a bit biased as well, but I reckon I could do it better.
Yeah, of course.
Fuck KB off there.
Well, even
what's he done?
Richmond got their podcast happening as well now. Talking Tigers on Tuesday. Richo does that with a couple others. And they, you know, go through the weekend and say they have a dad joke as well happening, so it fits right in with mine.
That's why you're in that.
Hey, that's where I get all my material, man. It's good.
So they do it on Tuesday, do they?
Yeah, I think it's midday Tuesday. All I remember is while I was in Japan this year, I was listening to it at work.
I reckon we're a chance to get Richo on this podcast then. We'll just tell him, no, they've moved it. They're doing it here. All right. He'll be none the wiser.
All right, I think that covers us off for Richmond. I think for one of the few times that they can be optimistic going into a season and
actually mean it
without being unrealistic.
Yeah, it's scary.
Optimistic, but not unrealistic. All right, the Lewis, cheers. All right.
Yep, bye.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.